Beautiful sound on Joy 94.9. That is
how appropriately
Debbie managed. Holiday. Warren, Leah Bolton is on the line. She's, well, because as you know, or as you may not know, actually, as listeners may not know, tomorrow is a very important day in the Jewish calendar. It's Rosh Hashanah. And we've got Leah Bolton, who's the founder of Pathways Melbourne. Pathways Melbourne is set up to help ultra-Orthodox Jews who are LGBTQIA+ navigate their this time, like the movement away from the orthodoxy. And can I just say, Leah Bolton, Shana Tova.
Oh, thank you so much, Dee. And Warren.
Hi, Leah.
And to all the listeners. Thank you for having me. Dee, thanks for that introduction. I'd like to also say, though, that we don't just help LGBTQIA+ people. We help all people we support all people from the Orthodox Jewish community who have either left, are transitioning out, or need a safe space to question beyond Jewish ultra-Orthodoxy. But why I'm thrilled to be here is we're setting up a new very private meetup group starting this November for people who also sit within the questions of the rainbow world. Mm. And it's very difficult to find a subset within a subset. And we're just hoping that at least one person out there is listening and may want to join that group.
And it's a private group, Leah, so it's safe. It's a safe place for them to go to without, you know, being exposed to other people.
What is the need for the extreme secrecy in a group like this?
Well, let's say you've never questioned. Well, okay. Imagine that you're a kid or an adult in a world where you have no TV, no internet, no opportunity to go to university. At the age of three, girls and women only mix with girls and women from then on, and boys and men only mix with boys and men from the age of three onwards. You're expected to commit to marry someone only after a few meetings. Mm. There's also the expectation to have many children, to remain closed off from anyone outside your community. And before you even open your eyes in the morning, everything is dictated by some kind of stringent religious law or tradition or ritual, and you're never expected to question why. Now, if you are somebody who questions whether it's your sexuality or gender or whether it's simply your religious lifestyle, who do you turn to?
Mm.
Who do you ask? You can't talk to your mum because the risk then is that you may be excommunicated. You might be cut off from your family. You risk connection with any financial assistance. You don't, the people within those couple of communities don't have the opportunity to go to year 12. So your educational options.
I was going to say there, Leah, sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
There's a huge risk, isn't there, to not having that support or that exposure to the education, yes, et cetera, or yes, people outside your community, that you might automatically, yes, think, well, there's something wrong with me. You know, what does LGBTIQ mean?
Well, we often find that people actually transition away from religiosity, from their community, before they start exploring sexuality and gender.
Right.
That's right. But it's very risky. And if you share any of these deep secrets that you might have to someone within your community, then you might find yourself in a very risky and lonely situation when you're cut off.
Leah, I think a lot of our listeners will probably have only the new Netflix series Unorthodox as a signpost to the orthodoxy and, in fact, the issues that you're presenting here today. If people haven't watched it, I enjoyed it immensely, and it was certainly, you know, opened my eyes to a small bit of what I imagine. It's set in Brooklyn, wasn't it? So that very, very Hasidic Jewish community. And I'm not sure, whether or not you've got a background yourself, Leah, in the Orthodox, Jewish Orthodox churches. But do you have experience from this?
No, especially with Unorthodox, the accuracy of the people living within the ultra-Orthodox community, the Satmar community, as it was called, within Williamsburg, was actually very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people living just here in Rivenlea and Elstonwick who live very similar lives. We're only talking about 5%, maybe 10% of the Jewish community here in Melbourne,
right,
but still it's enough.
And they're very visible. They're very visible presence in the Jewish community because they're the ones that the people see.
That's right. So they're the people. For instance, the men wear black and white suits, and they've got earlocks, and they might wear black hats. And the women are very modestly dressed. They might cover their heads with scarves or wear wigs. So it's really important for listeners to know that this is not the entire Jewish community in Melbourne.
Yes,
but let's just say, I myself did not grow up in that world. I wasn't raised religiously. I grew up in a humanistic, I'll call it, Jewish household. Mm-hmm. But I did attend a Jewish school, Mount Scopus College, which was a modern Orthodox school. And yep. I've got friends and family in the Orthodox community. But really, I've been driven by my belief that all individuals should have the basic right to a freedom of life choices. Mm. And it was a young woman that I met within that community that secretly shared with me that she wanted to go to university and didn't want to have to remarry when her first marriage only lasted 3 months, and she wanted to rollerblade and all of that. So,
I mean, mate, we all want to rollerblade.
Leah, how is Pathways received by the broader Jewish community as an organisation?
Great question. We often get asked this. So the co-founder and I, Mark Cherney and I, it took us 2 years to come out with our names on this. Not that we were worried about the broader mainstream Jewish community, but the ultra-Orthodox community. We were worried that we might get some people coming and, you know, bashing down our doors. But actually, I've got to say that for the people that now know about it within the ultra-Orthodox community, I've personally had a lot of very positive messages saying, you know, this is really special work that you do. We hate that people leave, but it's really wonderful that you're there to keep them connected, to give them a sense of community, because we're really creating a new community of people who have gone through similar journeys, who can share and don't have to explain. I mean, this is very similar. These are very, very similar themes to the Rainbow community.
Exactly.
I mean, not fitting in can lead to a life of depression, poverty, you know, exclusion, substance abuse. Occasionally, tragically, lead to suicide. Family excommunication. They're very similar
things. Can I ask, Leah, when people leave the Orthodox religion, are they more likely to remain in the faith, in the Jewish faith, or do they flip right off religion altogether and into just regular secular community?
Yeah, I love your questions. They're great. It's a real mix, a huge mix. Often we find that in the initial year, 2 years, few years, and it can take a long time to leave, by the way, it's a huge decision. You risk losing all family connection and community connection. But in the beginning, a lot of people many people have said to me that they find it very hard to tell elders that they're Jewish because they feel that the outsiders associate that with being religious.
Right.
But over time, they can develop a sense of Jewish identity that is separate from religious. It's just a cultural family connection. Mm. The food, the festivity, that kind of thing.
The jokes.
But some people, the jokes, all that kind of stuff, the self-deprecation.
Yeah.
So some people move very far away because they don't want to hear another word of Yiddish or they don't want to hear anything.
Yeah.
Others remain really quite connected, but
Can I just say, my comment on that is that my understanding is that the Jewish faith broadly, and not just the Orthodoxy, suffers from accusations of over-secrecy, that within the community there is that, and well, certainly the way it's reported out into the secular world, is that there's that cone of silence, that secrecy. We'll deal with this within our faith. We're going to deal with these issues. And some of them quite legal matters, we're going to deal with it within the faith. So that's why I asked that question up front about secrecy, why the secrecy, but I understand it and you've explained it very well. And it is not unlike what happens within the LGBT community. Coming out of, in a gender and sexuality sense, there's such parallels between coming out of the Orthodoxy and trying to assimilate into another society. So it's a brilliant cross-pollination here. How do we get, how do you get the word out for a super secret event?
Oh, yeah. Getting our word out is one of our hardest challenges because the majority of people that need us most don't have access to secular media, don't have internet, yeah. or if they do, it's very, very, they've got kosher phones, they call it,
right.
restricted phones. So look, we do a lot of speaking, public speaking, radio spots like this is brilliant.
Mm.
But if you do want to find us, we're online. We're on Facebook under Pathways Melbourne, so it's Pathways with an F,
mm-hmm.
but also there's our website, pathwaysmelbourne.org, or if anyone wants to email us, info@pathwaysmelbourne.org. But we list all of our events on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we have private meetups, not only for the LGBT community that will be starting in November, but we do a women's only group. And we also have a group that is mixed gender, and that happens every month. And again, very private.
Yep.
We go bushwalking, well, not during COVID, but we do lots of different things.
Leah,
yeah.
can I ask you, tomorrow is a very important day, Rosh Hashanah.
Yes.
Is there lots of feasting? What's involved?
Oh, yes, although it's just going to be my daughter and I at home. But,
no,
but generally, we get together and we eat lots of things that are round to represent the cyclical year.
Everything yummy is round.
a lot of sweet stuff.
Honey.
Year sweet. So we dip apple in honey, and the apples around, and we dip them into honey. You'd probably be familiar with the bread that we eat on every Friday mm-hmm. night for the Sabbath. It's called challah. It's a bit like a brioche. It's plaited, but for this particular month, it's round. So it's plaited, but in a round shape.
Fantastic.
What else can I say? And also, for the month leading up to Jewish New Year, mm-hmm. Ram's horns are blown. They're called shofars, and they're blown. It's another line to listen to it, because it's quite fascinating. And I believe there's going to be, there's going to be a big collective group of people blowing these ram's horns on Saturday, I think.
I don't know about collective and group. Oh, they'll be distanced.
We'll
they?
Have to listen out for
yeah,
them.
Well,
just listen out.
We've got to let you go, Leah Bolton from Pathways Melbourne. Do reach out to Leah and the group on Facebook or via
or
email
website.
Or the website if you are in any way wanting to find out more information about what they do. Do check out Unorthodox. I'm sure it's not completely accurate, but it is a very interesting peek into the orthodoxy and the issues there. Leah, thanks so much for joining us on
Leah.
Joy Drive.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
Okay. Well done, Dave.